Beautiful. Thank you, Dion. Man, I have lost my voice from singing this morning. That was awesome to worship the Lord with you guys this morning. Oh, I just want to, first of all, to say thank you for inviting me back. I love coming here. I feel like I'm home. I see my friends. I see family members. It is always just a beautiful privilege to come back here. So thank you, and again, just here. I hope that this morning will be a blessing to you. Now, Warren asked me to speak, and in fact, I'm just going to come back a little bit. I timed myself yesterday speaking this through, and it was 35 minutes. So apologies from the start if I'm going to be a little bit over this morning. Never good to start off a sermon with an apology, but I'm going to start off with an apology. Warren asked me at the start of the year, could I speak on art and life? And then I thought, okay, that's all good, that's brilliant. And then two weeks ago, and then I thought, actually, I better connect in with him just to check, do I still speak on art and life? And he said, Darren, art and life, but hey, speak on whatever you want, whatever you feel's right. So I thought, great, I'm going to speak on whatever I like. So here we go. This morning, I'm going to change the topic slightly, and I want to talk about connecting in with God's purpose. Connecting in with God's purpose. God has a special purpose for each of us. How many here are in year 13 at the moment? Have they all gone up the back, I suppose? Okay. Connecting in with God's purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us. I'm going to lift it up a little bit higher to the tertiary level. God has placed us all in different situations. I'm going to lift it up a little bit higher. God has placed us all in different jobs. God has put us in different community groups. God has given us different talents and abilities. God has this beautiful purpose for each one of our lives. His purpose, and it's unique. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. How awesome is that? God has a purpose for us. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. How beautiful is that? There is a purpose for each one of us. And it's a good purpose from the Lord. Romans chapter 12 talks about offering our bodies as living sacrifices. And then in the next verse it says, then you will be able to test and approve his good, his perfect, and his pleasing will. God has a good, perfect, and pleasing will for your life. How awesome is that? Enjoy that. Savor it. Soak it up. God has a good plan for each one of our lives. Now, yes, there will be trials along the way. Yes, there will be suffering. And yes, there will be persecution. If you're living out God's purposes, there's going to be persecution. But I will say this, they are also ultimately for your good. Okay, so God has a good purpose for each one of us. How do we connect into God's purpose? We connect into his purpose through reading and meditating on his word, the Bible. This, as we meditate in God's word, God tunes up our minds. He tunes up our behaviours. He also leads us in different directions. And sometimes it might be you're sitting in your comfortable zone and you read a verse and it just pops out and it goes, man, I need to have the courage to step out in this direction. So we find out God's purposes through reading his word. Secondly, we find out his purpose through prayer. And again, this is very important. At the start of the year or earlier on in the year, we looked at the pattern of prayer as we looked at Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray. And Jesus said this, when you pray, this is how you should pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. What a beautiful prayer. He's acknowledging God. He's saying, look, hallowed, holy is God's name. Holy is he. But then he's saying, pray that God's kingdom would come and that his will would be done. praying, Lord, may your kingdom be done through, may your will be done through my life. And that as we pray that, Lord, I give myself to you. I want your will to be done in my life today. Lord, I want to see the things that you would have me see. I want to do the things that you want me to do. I want your will to be done. And in this, in that prayer, there is surrender. It's not my will. I want your will to be done, Lord. There is surrender in that. That allows the Holy Spirit to take the lead and take control in our lives. And then thirdly, we obey his leading. When we surrender to him and obey him, he fulfills his purpose in us and through us. And I want to say this, it is better than our purposes. It's better than what we could think of. And what's more, it has eternal significance. Okay, so here's my story. That's me in the yellow skivvy there. And yeah, that's my dad in behind. Here we go. Dad asked me when I was in year 13, son, what do you want to do in the future? And I said, Dad, I just want to be an artist. And Dad said, really, son? You want to be an artist? How are you going to make a living from that? And I said, I don't know, Dad, but I just want to be an artist. And he said, okay, what do you have to do to become an artist? And I said, well, I've got to get into art school, and then I've got to get these marks to get into art school. And Dad said, okay, son, if you can get into art school, I'll let you carry on, and you can become an artist. But if you don't, I'll have a builder's apprenticeship lined up for you. Anyone that knows me, I am not practical. I would love to be a builder, but man, I would have been on Fair Go. I would have been on, back then it was the Homes program, if anyone can remember that. I knew that wasn't for me. So I worked my butt off, I prayed, and I got into art school with the bare minimum marks that you needed to get into. Here I was, sitting in amongst these really talented artists, knowing that I was actually the worst artist in the whole of the art school. I prayed, I got in. As I started to work through art school in those first early days, I remember picking up the brush one day, and I was painting with a little small paintbrush, and I remember thinking to myself, what am I doing here? This doesn't feel manly. And I remember, like, you know, thinking about my dad's mates. They all had big hobnail boots and they were builders. They were real men's men. But here I was painting with this little paintbrush. And I remember thinking, Lord, is this really what I should be doing with my life? And so I prayed. And one day, a little bit later on, I was cycling through Hagley Park, and I had this overwhelming sense of peace. The Lord was saying, you're exactly where I want you to be. There's a verse that I've always held on to, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your paths straight. So I held on to that verse, I trusted, and I kept working at art school. And in time, the marks started to go up, and that was a good thing. And so I kept on pursuing it, because I could see that the Lord was blessing in this area. And I want to say that, again, if you're committing things to the Lord, and you're seeing the Lord blessing you, keep on going. Don't look sideways, just keep on going down that track. I finished off art school, and I was making work like this. Oops, there we go. It's making work like that. That's not my painting, but it was all just shapes. It was all squares and abstract. It was all abstract art. And I remember thinking, Lord, I just want to point people to you. I want to do something that's got a narrative about it that just points to God. But I was making all this sort of abstract stuff and I didn't know how to make it work. I didn't know how to make it speak. Well, I went up to a place called Whangarā. One more. Went up to the place called Whangarā, which is a marae up in the North Island. And it was where they filmed the movie The Whale Rider. And I was on that marae for a week, 10 days, and I met this guy here, Hone Tamanu. Hone Tamanu was an Anglican minister, but he was also the kamatua. He was the chief of the area of the marae. And I had a lot of questions because I'd been brought up in Christchurch. I didn't know much about Māori culture. So I was in the meeting house one day and I was looking at all these carvings, just by myself, looking at these carvings. And I thought, what is this? Are these all like demons? And I didn't know what I was looking at. He came walking in and he could see that I was confused. And he said, Darren, you're confused. Would you like me to explain what's going on here? And I said, yes, please. And he goes, okay, the carvings, the tukutuku panels, which is the woven panels, and the kōwhaewhae patterns, it's a whole lot of artworks that are telling a story. It's telling the story about this local people. And he said, the thing is, these people have, as they've made these artworks, they've developed a language, they've developed a way, a vocabulary, a way of telling their story, and they're telling that story through artworks. Now he said, for you, you have the same blood running through your veins that they had. And their gift to you is this language, is this vocabulary, is this way, are the symbols to tell a story. He said, I want you to take that language and that vocabulary and tell your story. Now he knew that the foundation of my life was Christ. And he said, tell that story using this language. Now that was really empowering for me because I started to look at patterns like this. Now this isn't in that marae. Sorry, that isn't in that wharenui. In between the carvings is these steps like this. Now I was making abstract work that had all these kind of lines and steps and it kind of looked like that. But he said, this is called the Potama design. Well, it's the stairway to heaven design. Now, I know that within Māori culture, that is the steps that Tāne took into heaven. Now, the thing about it is, I'm going to jump back and say, the stairs into heaven. That resonated with me. Jesus owns that story. Stairs into heaven. Jesus is the only way into heaven. It's through his death on the cross. He owns that story. So for me, Potama, steps into heaven, I thought that is how I'm going to start making work along this track of pointing people to God. So I started making bridges to heaven. Now that doesn't look like much, that little painting there. But I want to say this, is that when you look at a map, you'll see this icon like that, which is a bridge icon. You know it? The bridge icon that you see on a map? So I started repeating those kind of lines to give it a bit of a Māori flavour to it. So I started making these bridges to heaven, and I made heaps of them. And I started to just basically go through Hebrews chapter 11, all the ancestors of our faith, you know, Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob. And I made all these paintings with these bridges to heaven, and I gave them a name after those great heroes of the faith. And so I made heaps of them. Bridges to heaven, pathways to heaven. Pathways to heaven. This was named John the Baptist. Bridges to heaven. Those works are quite big. That one there is 3 metres across, 2 metres high. And I'm only showing you a selection, but we just kept on going and going. This one here is like ladders to heaven. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to keep moving on through these works here. Lines to heaven. Okay, that photo there's got nothing to do with anything, but if anyone's interested, that's the place where Lawson Scott works. That's the Bank of New Zealand. That's his offices. So, they were good enough to purchase some work. So anyone wants to know where Lawson works, that's his office. Okay, pointing people to God. That's all I've wanted to do. Point people to God. Now for me, I'm going to show you just a selection of some artworks that have tried to do that. First one is Pulse, 2008. I was invited into the Christchurch Art Gallery and they had this gallery space, this exhibition space, and they said, we would like you to make a wall work, or in other words, we'd like you to paint on the walls of the space. And I thought, okay, what I'd like to do is make a wharenui, make a meeting house out of this room. And I also thought, at the same time, I want to give it kind of a cathedral kind of a feel. So that was the space, and this is what we turned it into. Now, on that far wall is a word called waru. It's repeated over and over again. That's the number 8, the translation for 8 in Māori. I'll give you a bit of a story on this one. As you walk into the space, that is what you see as you look ahead. Within Māori culture, especially within the Ngāpuhi tribe, which is where I'm from, where my dad's from up in the far north, as you walk into a meeting house, the far end is the wall of death. And so as you walk into a tangi, or as you go to a tangi or a funeral service, and this was particularly true for my nana, she lay in state on the end wall, on the wall of death. Now for me, I wanted to bring a Christian flavour to it, so I wanted to turn that from the wall of death into the wall of life. So I had this word waru repeated over and over again. If you look in the Bible, the number 8 has to do with new life, new beginnings, and resurrection. So if we think about Noah's Ark, there was 8 people on the ark, and they stepped out into a new era, new beginning. We can think about Jesus. He dies, he's crucified, he's buried, and he rises again on the first day of the week or on the 8th day. So again, just do a bit of a Google through the Bible and find out what the 8 signifies. For me, it signifies a new beginning, life after death, resurrection. So on that wall of death, I made it a wall of life. The second thing is that it's got this post in the middle. Now that post was at the start when I started to think about turning this into a meeting house. It's like, man, wish we could just take out that post. We can't take out the post because it holds up the ceiling. But the thing was, I thought, let's just turn that into something spiritual. Within a meeting house, the central post has got a carving on it. And it's usually the central ancestor of the tribe. For me, it's always going to be Christ. He is the central one. And so for me, he is the one that connects the earth to the heavens. He is the one that holds the whole building up. He holds all the creation up. And one art historian wrote on this, and she wrote some beautiful words. She says this, Dr. Robin Woodward writes about this part of the artwork, in the wharenui, the central pillar holds up the whole structure. And the imagery on it is reserved for the most important ancestor. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 comes to mind. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Beautiful. And again, that was my intent. He is the one that holds all creation together. Nothing, without him, we would all explode. There'd be nothing left of us. We would disintegrate everything. Christ is the center of all. Next one is the Lamb's Book of Life. Actually, I'll just flick through these shots here. Okay, the next one is the Lamb's Book of Life. I was invited in 2010 to put an artwork onto the side of a building. It was meant to be on another building, but that got really severely damaged in the earthquake, so we had to put it onto the council buildings here in town. Oh, that's actually where Mark works, isn't it? Yeah, that's where Mark works. Okay, I just finished making this painting here, and this painting is called The Lamb's Book of Life. And I just started to think, man, The Lamb's Book of Life, what an awesome book that is. Man, it's incredible. Like, anyone that has been washed by the blood of the Lamb, their names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Awesome. Then I just started letting my mind daydream. I do a lot of this. I started letting my mind just kind of wander. I wonder how that book's set up. Is it like alphabetical? You know, are our names recorded in the alphabetical? Is it nation by nation? Samoa, New Zealand, Australia, is it set up by nations? Is it set up by epoch? You know, 1500s to the 1600s, 1700s to 1800s. How is this book set up? Then I just started to think, man, that book must be massive. Like, how is it organized? Maybe it's like a whole lot of folders. Like, it's, the book's open and it's got a whole lot of folders within it. And I thought, yeah, that'll do me. So I started to think about folders. You know when you open up a filing cabinet and you've got those wee kind of folders and then you've got those tabs on top? Maybe my name's tucked into one of those. So again, I'm just kind of dreaming all over the place here. So I made this work, and it's really reflective. So it's like got a mirror-like finish. So as you stand in front of these folders, you see yourself perfectly reflected inside those folders. You're actually in the artwork. And that was the metaphor for me of being in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see yourself reflected inside those folders. So I just finished making that work. And I thought, and as it's 3.5 meters high, it's quite a big work, and standing in front of it's quite powerful. But I thought, what would it be like if I made it 300 times the size? And so that's what we came up with here as we put it on the side of the building. And there's Absailers that are installing it there. It's about 35 meters high by 30 meters across. And that's it installed there. It was quite an imposing work, but the Lamb's Book of Life, folder wall. Okay, I'm going to flick for the purposes of time, I'm just going to flick through this next project here, but I was asked to do an artwork in this space here in a sculpture park up at Waiheke Island. And I won't talk about the artwork and symbolism behind it, but that was a space there, and we turned it into this. Some cool people that turned up. That was Graham Henry and Raywin Henry. Okay, Venice. We were invited 2013 to be part of the Venice Biennale. So we were given this room here in a palazzo in Venice, and I decided to take the Lamb's Book of Life and turn it into a room. So we had this space here, and we turned it into that. And again, I won't talk too much about what's going on in this. But the one thing is, you can see that was me taking a photo into the corner of the space, so you can see it's highly reflective. So as you stand in front of, you know, the Lamb's Book of Life, you're actually in it. And again, that's the truth. If we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, we are in the book. Okay, Wordworks. After the Christchurch earthquake, I decided I wanted to make some works about the earthquake. Now, for me, for Karina and I, it was, you know, when that first one hit in September, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it was, I just remember thinking, wow, what was that? And then our first thought was, we're going to try and get upstairs to the children. But because of the shaking and everything, it's like, man, I'm going to take cover for a start. And so we just prayed, Lord, please look after our children. Please look after, keep them safe. Once the earthquake had stopped, we got up to the children and they were all safe. We gave thanks to the Lord for that. But then I thought, right, we'll ring my parents. But the landlines were out. And back then, I didn't even use it. We didn't use cell phones. And we did have a cell phone, but the battery was gone. So there was no way of contacting family or friends. And I just remember just we prayed, Lord, please look after our families. Please look after our friends. And it was prayers that went up, just praying for protection. After the earthquakes, I thought, I want to make a series of paintings, but I don't want to do broken down buildings. I want to do something that's quite personal. So I just started to make these paintings about those prayers. And I call them my karakia prayers. So I just had this word, atua. You guys know Atua, eh? Atua is the Māori translation and Samoan translation for God. And so I just had this word repeated over and over again. Lord, Lord, protect us. Lord, help us. Sometimes words are cut off. Another aftershock hits halfway through a prayer. And we keep praying after that. But I made heaps of these paintings. These are about, they're all 2 meters across. They're big paintings. (Clears throat) I started introducing words, and down the centre there is the word takuta, which means doctor. Lord, we need a doctor. Kaitiaki through the middle again. Lord, we need a keeper. We need a guardian. Be our guardian. There's a word through the rangatira, which is chief. Hipara, which is shepherd. Lord, we need you to be our shepherd. Then took it into other mediums. This is on the side of the museum, Canterbury Museum. And you might have noticed these down Durham Street. They've been sort of like looking pretty tatty now. But yeah, some things down Durham Street. Okay, Rata, 2012. I was invited up to the Tauranga Art Gallery to make an artwork onto this wall here. And so I started to think about, what am I going to do? And again, I went back and I was working on this painting here called Rata. Now, Rata, that painting is about 2 metres across. It's quite a powerful word. It's a very powerful word for me. Because Rata in Māori means doctor. But it also means to suffer. And for me, it's a perfect name for Christ. He is the doctor. He is the great physician. But in order for that to happen, he had to suffer as he went to the cross for our sins. By his wounds, we have been healed. So for me, Rata, very powerful. We went from there to making that. So that's about 7 metres high and 12 metres across. Now there's another story, and there's usually two layers to my meanings behind things. That's the spiritual meaning behind it for me. But also, at that time, the Rena disaster had just happened. And so, does anyone remember the Rena disaster? Where that boat was just leaking oil all over through the sea, and it was being washed up on the beaches, and man, it was a mess. Their land was suffering. Their land needed a doctor. Okay, Exodus paintings. 2016 to 2018. I don't know if you remember this, but Christchurch was starting to get momentum. As a city, our city was starting to get momentum. 2012, 13, man, it was depressing. We had all that loss of life. There was a whole lot of awful things that were going on. We saw it was hard with our properties. We started to see that, man, there were so many buildings coming down in central Christchurch. It was just depressing. 2016, things are starting to change because all of a sudden we've got new builds that are going up. I think we were having buildings that were being built in town, and I think the BNZ was one of those first major buildings that got built in town. And you could start to see, hey, there's a bit of momentum going on here. And not only that, people were starting to move back to Christchurch. There had been a mass exodus beforehand, but now we're starting to see people moving from Auckland, from all different places to Christchurch. There was a different feeling in the city. And it almost felt, before we were in bondage, but now we are heading to a brighter future. We're starting to head towards the promised land. And on the back of that, I thought, I'm going to connect into that story with going to a far greater story, the story of the nation of Israel coming out of slavery, out of bondage, going through the Red Sea towards the promised land. So here we've got this image, this painting of the sea being parted. The strong east wind comes in and the sea is parted. It's an aerial shot. We're looking down from God's perspective. We're looking down and we're seeing that sea being parted. In the centre there's a central column, and that for me is always God. And on there is the word kaihoko, which means redeemer, buyer. God was in, Christ was in the middle of the sea with his people, and they went through to the promised land. So I started making all these paintings that were connected into that. Aerial shots, the sea being parted. And these different words all had meaning. Ariki means chief. Ikoroki, which means Exodus. Victoria, victory. And then we also made a big carpet up at the Wellington Airport. That's about 28 metres long, I think it is. Okay, the last painting in that series was a painting called Hikoi. This is it here. It's 7 metres long and it's 2 metres high. And I wanted to use it as an opportunity to give the gospel story. It moves from one side of darkness through to the light. From bondage through to the promised land. In the first panel closest to us, it's got the words kaitorangi, which means promise, guarantee, oath. God made a promise to Moses in Exodus chapter 6 that he would free his people from slavery. He would take them through to the promised land, just as he had promised. The other word on that first panel is the word order, life. There was a promise given, there was life to be possessed. They start moving through the Red Sea. Panel 3 has the word afido, hope. It has the word also hikoi, which means to step, to stride, to march, to walk, to hike, to journey. Panel 4, right smack in the middle of the painting, is, this is the key panel for me, it's got the words on it, kai hoko, which means redeemer or buyer. It has the word chief on it. It also has the word life on it. And for me, it's like a great big T form, it's a tail cross. For me, that is the crucifixion. That is Christ right there. To go through from bondage through to life, you've got to go through the cross, the central panel. You've got to go through the Redeemer, who is Christ. He is the only one that will take us through to the promised land, to the light on the other side. Panel 5 has the word tiki tiki, exalted, high, important. It also has the word rise, resurrection. Through Christ there is resurrection. Panel 7 on the far end is the words kororia, which means glorious or glory. And it also has the word oki oki, which means rest. There is a place of eternal rest. Go through Christ, there is resurrection, and there is a place of eternal rest. That's what Hebrews talks about. And through Christ, that is all made possible to take us out of our imprisonment and slavery through to victory. Okay, our time is up, and so I'm just going to flick through the next one quickly, not talk about it. But I want to make a confession to finish up. I am not good at sharing my faith. Growing up, I was timid. I watched my friends invite people to church, share their faith, share something of the love of God. And I thought, man, I'd love to be able to do that. But I was never able to do that in a way that I felt comfortable. Here's the cool thing about God's purposes for my life. That over the years, the artwork has provided a safe place to talk about my faith. And that has been such a tremendous blessing. I'll tell you why. I love the Lord. I love him passionately. He's the most important thing in my life. Second to that is my wife. Third to that is art. Actually, my family. Oh, my church. You guys. Art. But the cool thing is that God managed to fuse those passions together. And again, when you start to see him fusing bits and pieces of your life together for his glory, man, it's a beautiful thing to behold. So for me, this has provided a safe place, I feel, to talk about faith. But you know what? Even through the artwork, sometimes God's used other people to point to him through the work. Listen to this. And this wasn't written by me. This was written by someone who wrote an article in Art New Zealand. Now, Art New Zealand is, I'd say, New Zealand's most prestigious art periodical. And this is what it says about the Lamb's Book of Life. So think about that great big work that was on the side of that building. It says this: Darren's 2010 Scape project investigates the Book of Salvation mentioned in Revelation of the New Testament, commonly known as the Lamb's Book of Life. According to Scripture, all those who dwell eternally in heaven with God are recorded in this book, and their names can never be erased. It is the roll call of the righteous and believers, and those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Those whose names were not present in the book at the final judgment will be condemned to eternal damnation. Whoa. That's heavy. Now again, I didn't write this. And then she goes on to say, and she's got quotation marks, "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And then another book, which is the book of life, was opened. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead and all who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead and all who were in them. And they were judged, each of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. Close marks. Revelation 20, verses 12 to 15. The works within the register series are effectively Darren's abstract interpretations of a last judgment. And again, I want to encourage you, maybe just pause. If your name, you know, is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, there is healing, there is a way through, there is victory, there is life, and it comes through Christ. Trust in Him. His blood has paid for all of your sin. Trust Him as your Saviour. Okay. So that's what's been written about these works. Now, I want to say this, and this is finishing everything off. It hasn't always been easy. So please don't think, as you see me standing up here, that it's all been smooth sailing. It hasn't been. There's been hurdles all along the way. It's never been easy. But it has been fulfilling. And I have seen the Lord. Krina and I have seen the Lord at work. He is so good. So in conclusion, God has a unique purpose for you. For you. He has a unique purpose for you. And I want to encourage you to connect in to His purpose for you. How do we do that? Connect into His Word. Secondly, pray daily for guidance. Lord, may Your will be done. Thirdly, obey Him. Surrender. All of this equates to remaining in Him. John 15:5. If you remain in Me, you will bear much fruit. When we remain in Him, we become fruitful. Our behaviors become more like Christ. Not only that, we start doing things that are purposeful and meaningful for all eternity. He is the vine. We are the branches. We can do nothing without Him. Remember, without Him, you are just a stick. You're just a stick. But with Him, you are a branch connected in. And he produces the fruit through you. Connect into Him. Connect into His purposes. When He does that, He takes over in your life. Our lives become fruitful and meaningful. And God can then fulfill His purpose in your life. Even if it's as bizarre as becoming an artist. There we go. Thank you.